It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy your day. The Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you this morning. God is good, is he not? They say all the time and all the time, God is good. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, said David in Psalm 122, verse 1. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to God's throne at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together and to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray that as we study your word, that you will teach us the things we need to know. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us to grow close to you with wisdom and grace. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
today is entitled, Is Your Church a fiery furnace. A fiery furnace. We're reading from Daniel chapter 3, brothers and sisters, and we're likening it to the times that we live in. We should read the Bible and apply the principles to our lives today. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm going to have prayer. Join me, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the word of God. We pray that it will be properly applied and that we will awaken from our lethargy and see the dangers that we are in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I ran across a document. It's on the internet. The document is entitled Musicam Sacram. Musicam Sacram. It is a Second Vatican Ecumenical Council Musical Sacram instruction on music in the liturgy. In other words, how we apply music to the church service. And it is a Catholic document. The significance of Daniel, I'm sorry, not of Daniel, of Vatican II, was it was the first Vatican Council. Think of it like a general conference. The first Vatican Council that was both attended by Catholics and Protestants at the Catholic invitation. So it was basically a one of the things they did is they collectively determined how moving forward liturgy would be conducted. Now, liturgy is the way we do church, okay? The way we do church. So you can check it out for yourself. Musicam is M, like the word music, then A-M, the word music, then A-M. I would think it's pronounced Musicam Sacram, S-A-C-R-A-M. And over 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 and over, they're calling the worship service a celebration. Now, brothers and sisters, we celebrate after the victory is won. They celebrate after the World Series. They celebrate after the Super Bowl. They celebrate after the NBA championships. Of course, the winner celebrates, okay? So that's what a celebration is. You can celebrate maybe the life of a person as part of their memorial. Their life is over. So you're thanking God for the life they had. Their work is over. So if they won in the battle of in this battle against sin, you know, maybe it's appropriate to celebrate, okay? But we're in a battle. Why would the worship you need this worship as part of your strategy for the battle? Why would you then call it a celebration? That's because, brothers and sisters, they wanted to change liturgy, the way we do church, and make it a celebration. And so the role of music had to be a part of this celebration. I'm reading from Daniel chapter 3. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60. That's 600. No, I'm sorry, that's 60, sorry, cubits, and the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. So you have 6 and 6. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, an end-time prophecy brings us to 6 sixes. This is 2 sixes. Do you think there might be some hint that God might be giving us that the principles in this chapter are principles that we will see that we need to understand in the last days of this earth's history? Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes. Now, notice this was an image. You'll read about in the book of Revelation an image to a beast, okay? This was an image of gold. And the gold represented Nebuchadnezzar because he's the head of gold. So you have in Revelation a beast and then another nation that makes an image of that beast, okay? So just keep those things in mind. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had that up. Brothers and sisters, they just named the people that govern, the people that rule. So you could liken that to, yes, our political leaders, but you could liken all that to pastors and church leaders as well. When the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall that same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Brothers and sisters, in this document, I'm going to read a portion of it. Now, remember, this is the agreement that they came up with, Protestants and Catholics, in the early 1960s, to change the way we do church, calling church a celebration as though we've already won. You see, brothers and sisters, this was actually a declaration that the Roman Catholic Church was secretly making, saying that they've already won. You see, they laugh at Protestants because Protestants say we protest against the abuses of Rome, but then when Rome says, let's follow this principle or policy of worship on the first day of the week in defiance of God's holy Sabbath day of worship, the Protestants just fall in line. So Rome claims victory. They're running a victory lap. Let me read this to you. In selecting the kind of sacred music to be used, whether it be for the choir or for the people, the capacities of those who are to sing the music must be taken into account. No kind of sacred music is prohibited from liturgical actions by the church as long as it corresponds to the spirit of the liturgical celebration itself and the nature of its individual part and does not hinder the active participation of the people. As long as the people can move and the people can clap and the people can raise their hand, it could sound like rock music. It could sound like pop music. It could sound like R&B. It could sound like jazz. We don't care, said the Protestants and the Catholics in 1960 or early 1960s. It doesn't matter if it sounds like music from the club. It doesn't matter if the musicians have dark glasses because they stayed up all night drinking and playing in the club the night before. None of that matters as long as it is in line with our movement of celebration. That's what they said. I've got the document. You can go look it up yourself. And brothers and sisters, Protestants have fallen for it. And in our churches, the music sounds just like Soul Train used to sound. It sounds just like the club sound. It has the same beats and rhythms and all of that. And the singers do the same thing that you might see some of the popular singers out there in the world, some of the stars out in the world do, brothers and sisters, dressing seductively often and doing things to just rouse the crowd. Brothers and sisters, God was telling us, in Daniel chapter 3, that music would play a role in deceiving the people because it was when the music played that they bowed down to an image, brothers and sisters. There is going to be an image to the beast. In the book of Revelation, the United States of America combines its forces with the apostate Protestants to cause the world to honor the papacy by forcing worship on Sunday. That's what the Bible teaches. And so in Daniel, it's symbolizing that they had to have celebration music in order to deceive the people. And that's what you have today. That's why, friends, God is all about emotion. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. okay? But you don't use the emotional service as your drawing card to draw people to the truth, because you're not drawing them to the truth. I'm ashamed of where we are today, brothers and sisters. There's a bedlam of noise. Let me read to you some things that I shared last night. And I was a guest speaker on a call, and I'm going to read some things to you. This is from a book called Selected Messages, Book 2. And you can also find it in a book called Last Day Events. It was written by Ellen White. And notice what it says. The things you have described as taking place in Indiana, the Lord has shown me would take place just before the close of probation. Every uncouth thing would be demonstrated. That's inappropriate thing. There will be shouting, yay, with drums in the church, you see, music and dancing. Okay? The senses of rational beings will become so confused that they cannot be trusted to make right decisions. Notice what else it says. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. Music conducted aright might be a blessing, but when it's so loud and the drum is beating and you hear the bass guitar causing you to have that rhythmic movement in your body and you can't sit still, you think it's the Holy Ghost. It's demons, brothers and sisters. Let me read it to you. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival. You Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Seventh-day Adventists, you got drums in your church, and the basic sound of the music is the same as you find with the syncopated beat in the club, causing the same bodily movements, brothers and sisters, that you have in a club. You've got demons in your church, and your pastor is too deceived to tell you, because he doesn't know, because he's just wanting your approval ratings. Sounds like politics, doesn't it? It is. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival, and this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. Those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Now you know why Seventh-day Adventists no longer hold the writings of Ellen White as being an authority. She's just a good person who wrote some good things, but she's no longer an authority by General Conference decisions recently. No longer an authority, because she condemns what they do and what they allow, friends. Because it brings demons. That's why people are, you might say, oh, this woman ain't the Bible. Why are you quoting her? The bottom line is, why are you not following the Bible? Why are you not following the Bible, my friend? The Bible doesn't support homosexuality in the church. But the churches allow it. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Stop lying. It's all on the college campuses. Clubs are present, and the school does nothing about it. Transgenders, and please understand, those of you who are homosexual listening to me, those of you who are transgender listening to me, I want you to know, God loves you. I'm not your enemy. I'm not your enemy, okay? I am not your enemy. The ones who are your enemies are the ones who let you do anything you want to do in God's church, because they're making you feel like you're secure in your religious walk and you're headed to hell. I'm going to tell you the truth, because the truth sets you free. Oh, my friends, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That means his life work was happening even before he was conceived, or at least after, at least we could say by that verse, while he was just before he was born, okay? His life work, his gender. He was a prophet, not a prophetess, okay? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm a medical missionary. I've studied physiology. I've done the math. Did you know that if you calculate the number of possible eggs that could have been the one that combined with the sperm to make you, okay, and you multiply that times the sperm that were ejaculated by your father, any one of which could have penetrated with any one of the possibility of eggs that your mother was born with, you're not one in a million. You know, we say, oh, I'm one in a million. That's a term that means you are super special. You're not one in a million. You're not one in a billion. You're not one in a trillion. You are one in a quadrillion. My little calculator won't even show the number of zeros for a quadrillion, brothers and sisters. I don't even know if my bigger calculator, I'm showing my calculator to these people on Facebook. I got a bigger one. I don't think it shows quadrillion. Okay? Brothers and sisters, if God wanted you to be a girl, you would have been a girl. He had a quadrillion opportunities to make you any other gender, but he chose you. You could have been, science proves that fraternal twins is proof that if you had a different sperm and a different egg, you'd be a different, totally different looking person. You got some twins where one is tall, one is short, one is light and one is dark, okay? If you had a different sperm that penetrated the egg, you'd be a different person. If the sperm penetrated a different egg from the mother than it penetrated, you would be a different person. Each sperm has subtle genetic differences, and each egg has subtle genetic differences from every other egg. Therefore, I declare unto you the word of God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You see, you who didn't know who you were and you didn't feel right about yourself, you needed to trust God that you would put your trust in him, that he has chosen you. It's the devil that makes you think that you're nobody and that you're not fulfilled in the gender that you are. So what are we talking about, brothers and sisters? It's all this music and emotionalism that stunts our thinking so that we can't see something clearly. And we can allow a man to come in dressed like a woman and a woman dressed like a man. And you can be a member in most churches in that way. The Bible says that if I dress up like my wife, it is an abomination. That's what the Bible says. But all that music and all that dancing has caused a carnival of demons to come and cover my head, brothers and sisters, and I'm not able to sense what God is saying. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the God, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. You see, God has his people, even sometimes being persecuted, to reach the kings, brothers and sisters, to reach the presidents and the governors. That's why, yeah, we might have some persecution, but it's so that the message can get before them. You see, God had said in Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold. But then there was going to be a breast and arms of silver, Medo-Persia would overcome it. And then there would be a belly and thigh of Greece, I'm sorry, of brass. Greece would overcome Medo-Persia. And then there would be legs of iron. Rome with the Caesars would overcome Greece. And then you had, after that, feet and toes of iron and clay. That represents the taking over of the Roman Empire by the Roman Catholic Church, because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 18 that clay represents the church, and some of it wasn't good. It was miry clay, and it was mixed with the iron, brothers and sisters. And iron doesn't actually mix with miry clay, but it was combined with the iron. That was the combination of church and state, a policy of Rome. And then the Protestants who protested against that, they are connected, showing that at the end of time, the Protestant churches, brothers and sisters, all of them are going to join in hands because they've been deceived by the music to go along with the setting up of this power that an honor of the papacy. That's what the Bible teaches. But you're too drunk because of the music you listen to. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. Demons are in our services, and we brought them in because we wouldn't listen to the prophet. So we're being controlled by demons, and you wonder why your house is not in order. You wonder why men are beating their wives, and wives are just totally disrespecting their husbands in the home. But you all dress up. You know, you come to church on Sabbath and on Sunday looking like you're all, you know, holy and stuff. You know your house is all messed up. It's those demons that you picked up at church. Get them out. And stop listening to all that foolishness, brothers and sisters. I'm going to read you another one. Fanaticism, false excitement, false talking in tongues, and noisy exercises have been considered gifts which God has placed in the church. God has not placed gibberish in the church. That's what the false talking in tongues is. It was languages, brothers and sisters. Read 1 Corinthians 14. Some people say, well, Paul prayed in the Spirit and all that. He said, if I pray in the Spirit. The next verse says, what is that? That doesn't make sense, in other words. I don't pray that way. Look at verse 15, brothers and sisters. People have just tricked you into thinking that this gibberish that people have in Seventh-day Adventist churches and Baptist and Methodist, Presbyterian, you know, you used to be just a Baptist. Now you are full gospel Baptist, as if to say that when you were just a Baptist, you didn't have all the gospel. By full gospel, they mean now we speak in tongues. What they're basically saying is we have fallen hook, line, and sinker for this movement that has aborted the movement of God in your life to try to help you understand what is truth. So people can't understand the truth. We just go to church and have a good time, okay? Dancing, clapping. And I'm not saying that there is never a place of clapping your hands. Bible speaks of clapping. I'm not saying it's always done properly and it should even be done in the church, but I'm simply saying clap your hands, oh, you people. There are times for it. There are times to raise your hands, brothers and sisters. So I'm telling you, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. But what I am saying is what you see in our church services, just because she hit a high note, the Holy Spirit didn't pour out on the church because she hit a high note. I'm sorry. Because somebody rose the note and it sounded nice. That did not bring the Holy Ghost into the church. So why are you falling out? Half exposing yourself, then they got to have women to come and cover you up with a sheet. What kind of foolishness is that, brothers and sisters? God's church would be characterized by calmness and dignity, not by excitement, mere excitement, okay? Let me read on. Fanaticism and noise have been considered special evidences of faith. Some are not satisfied with a meeting unless they have a powerful and happy time. They work for this and get up an excitement of feeling, but the influence of such meetings is not beneficial. When the happy flight of feeling is gone, they sink lower than before the meeting because their happiness did not come from the right source. You see, that's why your whole religious service is a whole roller coaster. Oh, I got to go get my happiness at church. And then you just go down. Then you got to come back next Sabbath or Sunday and get that happiness, and you just go down. It's not supposed to be that way. It's because of the music. It has deceived you, and you are not basing your religion on the word of God. You're basing your religion on emotion, and that's what Rome wants. Because if you base your religion on emotion and church is just a big old celebration, then when the crisis comes, you will receive the mark of the beast, and they know it. That's why they call it a celebration. Because if you follow this plan, you're already lost, guaranteed, unless you repent. They know it. They're going to win. That's why the Lord, through his servant, can say storm and tempest would sweep away the structure that was said to Seventh-day Adventists if they go along with the change and start doing church differently. And they did it, brothers and sisters, even to the point of a new organization. Go to the USPTO.gov, look up General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, brothers and sisters, and you will see that they said the church started in 1963. That's a new organization, because the real one started in 1863. So they've started a new one. The authentic one started in 1863. But then they tell you that if somebody is not under the conference, they've started a new organization. They're lying to you. But you're so deceived by the music and the happiness and the flight of feeling that you can't see the truth. The most profitable meetings for spiritual advancement are those which are characterized with solemnity and deep searching of heart. It didn't say you can't smile. It didn't say you can't be happy, but it said there would be solemnity and deep searching of heart, each seeking to know himself, and earnestly and in deep humiliation seeking to learn of Christ. You see, you can go too far on the other side and have no love in the church, brothers and sisters. That's not God. If you're of God, God is love. And so you would have a church full of love, full of compassion, not judging people, not looking and trying to be the dress police and the food police. That doesn't mean that we dress any kind of way, but I'm saying you've got to have a welcoming spirit, because there will be people that don't know what you know, and they will come through your doors. What are you going to say to them? How are you going to treat them? Because their skirt's a little too short or a lot too short. What are you going to do, brothers and sisters? Are you going to treat them like they're a whore off the street? No, you don't do that. You treat them with love. They will look around and they will see. They're not stupid. If they're dressed like that, then they're actually into fashion. They're going to look at all the other women and all the other men in the church, and they see more modesty. But if they see love with the modesty, okay, then conviction can come. But we're messed up, brothers and sisters, because if we don't get caught up in the worldliness, we get caught up in the fanaticism or the rigidness, and we're looking at everybody and trying to see, is this person? And stop looking at people and look to Jesus. If you start looking at Jesus, you'll try to see. Your dress might be long enough, but you got pride in your heart. You might be dressed all modest and with the suit and tie or whatever, but you got pride in your heart. You're going to be lost because of the pride in your heart. And it would be better if you'd never been born. That's what the Bible teaches, brothers and sisters. Oh, my friends, we're in trouble. I'm going to close out at this time. No, I'm going to read the rest of the story, because we've got to celebrate what they did. Now, if ye be ready, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true? Is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The man got mad, raging mad, lost his mind. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats with their hosen and their hats and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king was so stupid that he didn't think that even he would lose some of his greatest soldiers following his command, because he heated up the furnace so hot, he caused the death of his own soldiers. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, that's what that music will do, cause you to make bad decisions. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, that means astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto thee, O king, they said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was smart enough not to send any soldiers in there to try to get him, amen? Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. It's those who stand for the word and the truth and don't get deceived by the music that will be the ones who stand in the last days. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. He was still deceived by all that music. God didn't need that decree. God is a God of freedom. You're free to worship Baal. You might have consequences, but you're free to worship Baal. You're free to worship Hare Krishna and Buddha and any of those. God's not wanting the government to come and kill you or put you in prison because you worship another God, my friend. That's not who God is. He doesn't need your help. It's just like when they were trying to kill Gideon because he tore down an altar of Baal. Gideon's father said, why are you fighting for Baal? Baal can fight for himself. Is he not a god? God doesn't need our legislation. That's the problem. And so some of us think that we need a moral majority to come and take over the government so we can morally change the country. No, you need to stop being political. Then you'll change the country. Start admitting that it's not a constitutional right to allow Steve and to marry Adam, okay, Adam and Steve. That's not a constitutional right. Stop putting that on the Constitution, because it's not a constitutional right who you sleep with in perversion. That's not a constitutional right. Now, I'm not saying go abuse people who are homosexual. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's just not a constitutional right. If I commit fornication, I'm not even going to put myself on that. If somebody commits fornication, that's not a constitutional right. I'm not saying you should beat them up, but that's not a constitutional right. Neither is it a constitutional right to have white supremacists lead a people and have an insurrection on the Capitol. That's not a constitutional right. And the president who was president, if you support him, you're supporting what they did. That's why, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be a Democrat, neither a Republican. They have gone away from the Constitution of the United States, that great document that God set up in the United States and blessed America because of which. Oh, I'm going to read on. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Okay, we already read that. And then it says, then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. We already read that. It just changed the screen. All right. Okay, we already read most of this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. We're going to close, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for our churches. We pray for our choices. We pray that we will surrender to Christ. And we thank you for the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and have our torso song at this time. Then we'll come back and hear from Sister Lenny. And that will be on the subject of the natural cancer combating secret. That'll be the next voice you'll hear after we hear our torso song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormality may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved, are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved, you can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. So you might be feeling fine. It's
disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, I apologize for my tardiness, brothers and sisters. We're about to hear Sister Lenny at this time. All right, Sister Lenny, go ahead.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. The natural cancer combating secret. Curry powder is another superfood because it contains the substance turmeric. This antioxidant powder packs a powerful punch, acting as both an anti-inflammatory as well as having cancer properties. Curcumin is a compound located inside of the turmeric spice. This compound helps reduce inflammation in the body. It's so powerful, in fact, it can help reduce pain and inflammation associated with osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. However, its anti-cancer properties are what's most interesting about it. Curcumin has been shown to prevent colorectal cancers from forming. The compound seems to stabilize any malignant cells, stopping them from progressing any further. This then allows the patient to recover on their own. Regardless, there is a strong link between eating healthy portions of turmeric and reducing your risk of developing certain cancers. Now, I just want to share with you, I had a cancerous tumor in my left breast, okay? And it hurt so bad, and it just felt like it was pushing through. So I asked my doctor, I said, you know, I said, I feel like this is pushing through my skin. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, I feel like the tumor is pushing through my skin. She said, no, it's not going to push through your skin. So I started praying and saying, you know, I know how I feel. She's telling me one thing and I'm feeling another. So I had to go on how I was feeling. So what I did was I was reading this book called The Secrets of Underground Medicine. And I read in that book about turmeric. So here I am. My arm is sticking out because it was getting so big that my arm wouldn't go down. The tumor, it just seemed like overnight, the tumor protruded through my skin. No matter what I did, nothing helped. And so when I read in that book about the turmeric, I made a paste with the turmeric, and I added organic castor oil, and I applied it on the area. I did this over and over again until one day I noticed my arm wasn't sticking out. And so even though I was applying it on that tumor, I was also drinking it and eating it. It helped me tremendously. It shrunk the tumor, and you would never know today that the tumor was there. Now, when I went back to the doctor, I told her, I said, you know, you said that it wouldn't protrude through the skin, and she said, well, let me look at it. She acted like she was totally shocked that it had protruded to the skin and it was looking the way that it was looking. So when I read, I went on cancerresearch.org, and it said a lump in the breast. A cancer that's left untreated for many months or years can grow upward and into the skin and then break through the skin and cause an right. open sore on the skin surface. Now, they called it an ulcerating or fungating cancer, which I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. I had to go how I was feeling. I could no longer continue to listen to them because she had no idea. Why didn't she have any idea about this? She had no idea, you know. So that's what I did. And I did it to both breasts. I did not do anything to one that I didn't do to the other. I did both, even though there was no tumor there. I still did it to both. And you, like I said, you would never know anything was there. But thank you so much for listening. May you be surrounded today by God's blessings and his love. And like I told you, everything that I just read came from The Secrets of Underground Medicine, page 9. Thank you so much. God bless you.
I learn something every time dear Sister Lenny talks. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's a powerful testimony. And that's what God wants. He wants us to have a testimony of his goodness and to tell what God has done for us. You know, there are people being healed using what the author called underground medicine. Friends, it's God's health plan. Praise the Lord. Phone lines are open, so please feel free to press *6. We'll do roll call on Facebook. We have Georgia represented with a good morning message from Sister Vicky. We have North Carolina with a good morning message from Brother Peyton. We have South Carolina. We have Florida with a good morning message from Bernadette. We have Sister Vicky, good morning again. I'm sorry, amen. I guess that's amen. Some other encouraging words. And then we have from Sister Carolyn, not sure where she's from. And we have Marilyn on the line on Facebook. On the call, we are representing the states of Ohio and Ohio again, and Alabama and Maryland and Delaware and Delaware and Delaware are represented. We have New York. No, I believe that's Michigan represented. We have Ohio again, and we have Canada. Welcome, welcome. Then we also have New York. We have Michigan again, and we have Georgia. Press *6 if you have any comment or question, and we'll take Sister Donna at this time. Good morning, sis.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I have a couple sure. questions. I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask Sister Lenny, who was the author of the book that she read from today, and then I wanted to ask you. I listened to you this morning speaking about the conditions of different churches, and then you talked about how you know they can be on either end of the spectrum. From and the one that really touched me this morning was the church with no love. Mm-hmm. So now I wanted to ask you, on the other side of people being overexcited is people that fall asleep. Can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, does that have anything to do with the devil and, you know, and the church that has no love? Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't go yet because I need a clarification. When you said the church that's falling asleep, are you talking about a spiritual sleep or a literal where people are actually going to sleep in church?
Literal, where people are actually going to sleep in church.
Okay. Is it, as far as you understand, is it because it's boring or, I mean, what is the church service like that you're talking about?
Oh, it's probably the truth, but there are no drums.
Okay. Well, that person might just have a health problem if they're going to sleep in church.
But the enemy doesn't have anything to do with that?
Sure he does. The enemy can, a person can have a condition. They need to get that corrected. But the point being made is simply that, sometimes people aren't temperate and they stay up too late and so on and so forth. Or here's a big thing. A lot of people eat too much food before church, and because of that, they go to church. You eat donuts and all this kind of stuff for breakfast, Pop-Tarts and stuff, too much sugar, too much food. You're going to go to sleep in church.
Okay, well, I asked because I was speaking with someone, and they were telling me how, they just never had a problem with that before, and now all of a sudden they're just starting to fall asleep in church.
Yeah.
And I was But I've heard some people say that the devil can actually just lull you to sleep to also keep you from missing the message.
That's true. And that's why the servant of the Lord says it's good to fast on the Sabbath, because a lot of times people are groggy because they ate too much or ate too much sugar before. So when you come into the church service, so here's the question that a person who has that problem should ask. If they were to go to a meeting, when they go to other meetings, do they also fall asleep? No matter what they do, if they fast or if they're eating right, do they also fall asleep? Do they fall asleep generally at the, or they tend to fall asleep at the wheel? You can actually have a condition where that can be corrected, that you fall asleep. But I would say most people falling asleep in church has to do with what they ate for breakfast.
Well, I don't know, because they don't eat breakfast, so I'm just trying to, put two and two together.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the devil does try to get involved, and a person should definitely pray and say, Lord, please help me do some things that maybe they can do. Maybe they need to eat a little breakfast. Maybe their blood sugar is a little too low. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Now, the devil is known for, keeping you awake at night, and as soon as you start reading your Bible, you start getting sleepy. You'd rather you not read your Bible and go to sleep, so that's a good strategy. So I'm not trying to say the devil isn't involved, but I'm just simply saying that if that's just, you have to ask the question, does this just happen in church? Or if you just sit in many meetings, you tend to go to sleep. Then that would help you to isolate whether or not this is a physical problem or a spiritual one.
No, they actually, I asked that, and no, it doesn't happen anywhere else. They're okay all day, only in church.
Well, maybe they should take some superfood, maybe a little something with some ginseng in it in the morning before church, not any caffeine, but something with some ginseng, that type of thing, or superfood. Maybe they should drink a little juice or something like that, have a little smoothie in the morning prior to coming to service, and let's see if that helps. Definitely pray about it, ask God for his help, and I believe they'll get better.
Okay, so what book is it that Ellen White makes that remark you just said?
Now, were you talking about the one that Sister Lenny gave, or you wanted to talk about the quotes that I gave?
Well, I want the author of the book that Sister Lenny talked about or read from today. But you said that Ellen White spoke about the subject of sleeping in the church and how the devil causes it, and that's what I want from you.
Okay, I'll have to find it. I would guess that it's in Councils on Diet and Foods, but I'll have to find it.
Okay, thank you.
It's something
you.
I've read. I know it's there. Yeah.
Yeah, just the author of the book that Lenny read from today.
Donna, it's called Health Sense Publishing. That's who it's by. And you can also get more information. Health Sense, S-E-N-S-E, Publishing. And you can also get information from www.naturalhealthresponse.com. www.naturalhealthresponse.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you very much for those questions. And at this time, we will turn it over to my wife. It's right at the top of the hour. So thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Oh, you know what? Sorry. We do have one. We'll go ahead and get Mom Harriet. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to share my experience with one herb that is not popular. I've never seen it in a health book. Maybe it's in some rare book that I haven't seen. Anyhow, a dear brother of mine in the Lord, his wife died, and her funeral was last Wednesday. And I really wanted to go to this funeral, but to support him, and it's certainly have only one child. And I was nursing a cold, trying to stave it off so I can go to the funeral. So I was overdosing on vitamin C. I was able to go to the funeral. I sneezed a couple of times, and I was feeling a little chilly, but I overdressed a little. But when I got home, the cold started to come on. I coughed, I sneezed, and I was running a little temperature now and then. But many years ago, I went to a health food store, and I asked because my daughter had a cold. And so I asked what can be done, and they told me of an herb called OSHA, O-S-H-A. It's a root that is not very pleasant to look at. It looks like rotting tree root. And it smells like turpentine, and it looks very dirty. But you have to wash it a couple of times and slice it very carefully and simmer it. And I couldn't sleep night before last, and the Lord had to be involved. Did you remember you have a packet with some OSHA? And I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. And yesterday, day before yesterday, I got some, a few pieces, sliced it up and put it in the crock pot, in the instant pot. And I simmered it. And would you believe, last night, a little mixed up in the night, but I know last night I woke up one time to go to the restroom, and this morning I'm fine and just a little raspy in the throat, but no temperature, no coughing. This thing works wonderfully. I still have some in the crock pot. Yeah, OSHA is the name. OSHA, O-S-H-A. Some people might want to touch it because it doesn't look inviting, but it's wonderful.
All right, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Have a blessed
day. Yes, we thank you. She was saying have a blessed day, I believe. I'm sorry, I thought you were done. All right, it's time for us to wrap it up. My wife on Dream Belt will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Okay, I just wanted to make one comment.
Mr. Donna, to your friend who is falling asleep when they go to church, there's two things that I would suggest that you can tell them to do, and I'm sure that they're probably already doing it, but just as a maybe as a piggyback, I'm sure you even suggested this to them. The times that we're living in, the devil does not want us to hear the message that God is giving to the church. And if this is something that has recently started with this person, they may have to go into a spiritual fast. And that is increasing their prayer life and asking God to help them to be victorious when his word has been spoken. And they're going to have to really pray and fast and draw ever so close to God when it comes to them leaving their home and going to the church. They need to be able to have God to keep them awake and alert at all times. If the person starts to feel sleepy, one of the things that they need to do is get up and take a brief walk. Sometimes people need to have water. And I've seen where people have refreshed from just having a drink of water. Sometimes the body can get dehydrated. Sometimes the church may be too warm, and it could cause a person to be sleepy and drowsy, or it could be too cold, and that can put a person to sleep. So the person really has to look at the environment of the church, but they also need to look at this as a spiritual attack, because the enemy is not interested in God's word going forth and being spiritual food to feed us. But that is a spiritual attack that they're going to have to fight, and that battle, they need to fight it with the Lord, with the Lord's help and deliverance. So I just want to mention that. I know a lot of people do go to sleep at church. I see that when we go to other churches and people are still, you know, it's always a few that fall asleep. And I know that it's a spiritual battle that they're going to have to fight, but it can be won, and they can get the deliverance over that. But they're going to have to fight that with the help of the Lord, and a spiritual fast is the best way for them to conquer that and to be victorious. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to hear your word. And Lord, we pray that the enemy attack on the church would not be victorious, but that we can call upon you for deliverance, direction, allowing your spirit to lead us and guide us and to fill us, Lord. We need to be empowered with your Holy Spirit, knowing that we each have a spiritual battle fight. But we can be victorious, Lord, because we have you on our side. You have promised never to leave or to forsake us, that you would be with us to the end of the world. May we seek you out constantly. Help us, Lord, to keep our lines of communication open with you, praying without ceasing. And may each of us surrender our hearts fully to you, so that we can be close to you, always under your guard of protection. And we pray for those that are falling asleep in church, because we know that it's the devil who doesn't want them to get the message. Father, please help those to be able to stay awake and to hear your word, to hear the message that you have placed upon your servant to be able to give to those that are there at church. And Lord, we pray that we would do our part faithfully by serving you, keeping you first and foremost, and then being of service to man. Help us to always to seek your face. Bless every heart on this line as we go about this day. Help us to be successful in our task. And let us please, Lord, be able to always bring you glory, honor, and praise. For these things are always prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.